Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. Hopefully everyone is doing well out there. My guest on this episode is John Mayer McCall, host of the Wrestling Talk with Mayer McCall podcast. We talk wrestling, podcasting, fandom, and much, much more. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have my guest, Mayer McCall. Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, PhilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. At this time, I'm being joined by the founder and host of Wrestling Talk with Mayer McCall, the mayor himself, John McCall. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Actually, it's John McCall.
McCall, I'm sorry. I am so bad with names.
Not a problem at all. And thank you so much for having me. And what an honor and privilege to be on Wrestling Nostalgia with you, sir.
Yeah, well, tell us, John, where are you from?
I'm from South Haven, Mississippi. I currently live in the Twin City of Horn Lake, and we're about 10 minutes south of Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. Well, I do enjoy Memphis. I've been there several times. And, right. And I like Memphis. So tell us, when did you first discover pro wrestling?
Probably as around 7 or 8 years old as a child. We would go to the, it's before the, way before the internet days and all like that. And, dad would take me to the old video shop. I remember it was a place called Video Source. And I just, saw those larger than life, covers with the cassette tapes and all, and started watching some of the old, WWF guys, like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Andre the Giant, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. All those guys were, larger than life cartoon, guys for us. And it was almost like superheroes as a comic book, like coming to life. So,
yeah. So how old are you, John?
I am 44. I'll be 45 in April.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're a little younger than me, but where you grew up, were you getting Memphis
USWA wrestling there?
Yes, absolutely. It came on WMC Channel 5. I've actually been to the studio quite a few times. It was right there on the heart of Memphis and Union Avenue.
Yeah, so obviously, from what I gather, right, Memphis is that's kind of your huge passion. Is that correct?
It is, because I got to be around those guys and meet them and be around them and everything like that. So that was the foundation of my childhood, is actually getting to meet those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I love Memphis wrestling as well. I am originally from South Central Indiana, so we got Memphis via Louisville. We got the Louisville broadcast of Memphis where I grew up. So, so I got to watch that out of Louisville growing up. And then, it was just wild in those days. I mean, it was wild, 'cause I watched so much wrestling, right? There was so much on, and it was all just, it was weird as a kid, 'cause everything was equal in my mind. Right. I mean, I would watch the Memphis stuff, from Louisville and whatever. And to me, that was just on par with the WWE and everything else. It was just, I was so passionate. Obviously you could tell differences, but I loved it all. And obviously growing up in Indiana, right? It's where I grew up. I'm a big WWA Dick the Bruiser guy, as everybody knows. How familiar are you with the partnership in 82 between Jerry Jarrett and Dick the Bruiser through your research and everything else?
I didn't know much about that partnership. We probably leaned more towards learning about the partnership with Vern Gunn and the AWA. We didn't hear a lot about, we didn't hear a lot about that, organization or federation. So fill me in a little bit. Educate the mayor.
Well, there's not, honestly, it was very short-lived. It lasted less than a year. Actually, it wasn't even close. It was just a few months. In late 82, Bruiser was struggling, and he reached out to Jerry Jarrett and asked for some help. And basically, it kind of was a deal where Jerry was going to send some of his tapes up to be broadcast in the slot for Dick, was going to help with the shows, try to get things back rolling for Dick. The only really crossover into the Memphis scene was Spike Huber and Steve Regal. The Young Lions went down, worked some shows. And the main crossover was about the tag team. The New York Dolls held the WWE tag team titles, appeared on Memphis television with the WWE tag belts. It was so wild, so weird to see. And it didn't last that long, because eventually, Bruiser being Bruiser, he was facing Kamala on some shows, particularly one in Fort Wayne. And Bruiser Bruiser couldn't see himself. He didn't put Kamala over, which Kamala was the hot young, heel at the time for Jerry.
Monster heel.
Yeah, and Bruiser wouldn't put him over, changed things up from what Jerry said, and so that was the end of that. It was a weird thing, and I'm fascinated by it because it's so weird that this even existed at that time, especially considering that when Jarrett first started promoting, Bruiser, in his mind, quote unquote, owned Evansville. So he was, when Jarrett started running Evansville, Bruiser was, charging him to be able to run Evansville, even though Bruiser wasn't running Evansville. It's a whole thing. It's a whole weird thing. It's a whole wrestling thing.
Yeah. I can't see that going over too well with Jarrett. That was part of the loop on a Wednesday night,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did it for a bit when he was young, and then eventually just like, why am I doing this, and quit, and nothing happened, obviously. And Jerry used Bruiser a few times after. It was one of those, it's one of those weird wrestling things, right? That it, much to do about nothing. And so as a fan, though, just in wrestling in general, what's your favorite year?
I love a lot of, as I got older, I mean, that answer might change a little bit, because, with looking at all the footage, from the CWA and things like that. But my childhood was, was the USWA. I mean, 92 stands out for me. Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Lawler, that feud against the Moondogs. I mean, that was very hot all over our territory at the time. That was a big deal. That was a big year, 92 and all. But there's some other classic years looking back, the Dundee and Lawler era and things like that. And Memphis wrestling, 80, 81 was a big year when Lawler was hurt. Mm-hmm, and Hart was – you know, forming the first family and bringing in all the competitors, you know, for Lawler when he was to get better in return, you know, building that up. And a lot of people say that Jimmy Hart and, you know, Handsome Jimmy kind of carried the territory while Lawler was down.
Yeah. I don't think it's even that right. I mean, without Jimmy Hart, what would have happened, right? Jimmy Hart, when Lawler was out, I mean, he put Memphis on his back. And he truly did. And I think, you know, that's, he showed, you know, what he could do. And I'm the same way, right? I have my favorite years as far as historically, right? I've watched since. As a fan myself, real time, my favorite year is 1989. It was just, I was 14 at that time, deep in it, right? There was WrestleMania 5. There was all the Flair Steamboat stuff going on WCW. The NWA. It was a wild time for me at that time. So it's my point being, it's funny when you're, a quote unquote historian or whatever they want to call people, when you dig into this stuff, right? You watch older stuff and research stuff. There's things I'm fascinated by, things I love, things I lean towards. But man, the nostalgia part of me is I want to throw on stuff from 89 because that's what I remember as a kid and growing up. So do you find yourself doing that? Do you have like two sides of yourself as a wrestling fan and podcaster?
Absolutely. I would say so. And you got my wheels turning too, like in our area, our neck of the woods in 89, that was, you know, the USOBA was just getting started, you know, and there was the merger with World Class with Fritz. Yeah. Jarrett, you know, so that we all know that was kind of short lived, but we won't get into all that's a whole nother, we could do a whole other podcast on, you know, on that subject and all. But yeah, that was, you know, that was fascinating stuff too. And there's definitely two sides of it, you know.
Yeah, even that. Yeah, I was fascinated by that, right? I thought Eric Embry was one of the biggest stars in the world through all that stuff. And I still do. I still have a lot of appreciation for Eric Embry. I like to maintain that part of me, right? The fan side of me, not the historical view and the, you know, when I dig into what's important for the business, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I like to maintain that side of me of, well, what did I enjoy in real time, right? It may not be the best year and it may not be the greatest year. It may not be the most impactful, but what did I enjoy watching? Because I think that keeps me honest. You know, it keeps me from getting jaded to, you know, if I maintain what I liked and I don't just listen to all the stories and about how great this year was and that year was, because whenever you grow up, everybody's got right their favorite stuff. And I find that a lot when I talk to guys and wrestlers, right, that everybody's got as a fan, their favorite years. And it's just a personal thing. And I think it's very important for us as podcasters, though, to kind of maintain that side of it so that, you know, you have to keep in touch that fandom, I think.
And I think maybe the way I've approached it, maybe I've just approached it through the fandom. Maybe I haven't went towards the stuff that's really important, more relative. Maybe I've just went for, you got me thinking now, maybe I've just went for stuff that just was passionate for me as a fan that was important to me that I really enjoyed. I mean, you got me sitting here thinking about something else too. And a lot of, you know, I've been, you know, I just had my kidney removed a few weeks ago. I've been down with kidney cancer and all. So spirit, you know, and God is good, but my spirits haven't probably been, you know, where they need to be. But, you know, I was actually really excited. And my wife said the same thing that, John, you know, cause I was a little hesitant. I didn't know if I wanted to record an episode today, but my wife was like, John, you know what? That's one of your favorite things. That's your passion. It'd be good. Yeah. Get on and talk with wrestling with Dave today. And I said, you know, so I'm sitting here, you know, thinking about, you know, fandom and stuff and some stuff I associate with a kid watching, you know, not that I'm old or anything, but I've lost a lot of buddies and stuff along the way through other tragedies and all.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, it was either SummerSlam 90 or 91. Which one was it with Hogan and Earthquake headline? Was that 90 or 91?
I'm not sure. I'm not real. I want to say 91, but don't quote me on that.
I think it might be 91, but the point I'm trying to make is that I have a buddy named Alan, and he was killed tragically in a motorcycle accident some years ago back in 2006. And as a kid, I'm surprised like the spirals didn't pop out of that tape. We wore that I mean, I have a memory of just sitting there. We watched that Demolition Heart Foundation, Earthquake, Rude and Warrior. I'm surprised, making a joke, but I'm surprised we didn't break that damn tape. We watched it over and over and over.
Yeah, I have a friend like that too. That he was, I mean, God, he was my friend from elementary school, right? We always knew each other, seemed like. And we discovered wrestling together, right? I mean, it was that thing, and we both fell in love with it. And way back in the day, we were making newsletters, right? We didn't have subscribers or anything. We didn't put it out there, but we were just doing things. And, but we were very passionate together, and he passed away a few years ago. And there's lots of things where I do that, right? Where I watch certain things and I will cry because I will remember, man, I watched this originally with him. This was something I used to share with him. And it's so wild to me how pro wrestling is such a unique form of entertainment because it pulls from so many different aspects. And I mean, you're right. There's the entertainment side. There's the sports athletic side, but then there's that, right? I mean, I have things that it makes me think of my grandma who introduced me to professional wrestling. There's things that makes me think of my best friend who passed away because we discovered it together and so much other stuff that it's, I don't know, maybe it's not like that for everybody, but for me, it's such an integral part of my life. There's so much I associate with professional wrestling that it's remarkable.
And what fans have to realize today is we didn't have the internet available back
no,
then.
No.
Ways to, you know, to get what we wanted. I mean, big shout out to Bob Smith and Bill Apter from Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
I remember one of the coolest things ever is my uncle surprised me, and he knows that I was always, you know, take me to the, you know, the Kroger and all, and reading the, sitting down on the wrestling aisle, the magazine aisle, and reading all the wrestling magazines. So he surprised me with a subscription to Pro Wrestling, you know, Illustrated, the weekly newsletter. So that's how I found out what was happening all over the country and how everybody was ranked and all. We didn't have the internet, you know, so that kind of kept me in the loop of what was going on. So
yeah, my grandma got me a subscription of that for I don't know, either a birthday or a Christmas. I can't remember which one.
Hey, shout out to my uncle and your grandma helping us out along the way.
Man, my grandma was your prototypical wrestling granny. She would watch it every weekend. She cheered the babies, hated the heels, no matter who it was. Tucked me to my first show there in her little town, Dick the Bruiser show. It was in her little high school gym in her little bitty town, and she was passionate, but she was why she's the reason I first saw it, the reason I fell in love with it. I mean, I figure I probably would have discovered it eventually, but not as early as I would have probably because of her. And you know, so she impacted me in a lot of ways, but that's one that's for sure. And I think that's a lot of things, right? It's a generational thing. A lot of my kids love wrestling because of me, because I would watch it and I never forced it upon them, but they would wander in and see what I was watching and they got hooked too. So it's such a generational thing. Even now, I think we're losing touch with a little bit of that maybe, but it's such a remarkable form of entertainment. It really, really is. I don't know, maybe that's why I'm so passionate about it. Why I feel so much. So, I mean, growing up as a fan and being all this passion, what made you decide to start a podcast?
Well, it was kind of, I think it'll be our three year anniversary this March. But a good friend of mine, Matt Mills, I've known him since junior high. Still a great, great friend of this day. He called me up in one day and he said, "Have you ever thought about starting a podcast?" And I was like, "No, man. What? Why would I start a podcast? What would I even talk about?" He says, "Dude, you would be perfect." He said, "As much as you love professional wrestling, start a podcast about professional wrestling." Then it just kind of clicked. You know, when something you get something in your head, and you just totally run with it, no matter maybe the consequences, the downfall or what. You just get something in your head and you run with it. So, you know, I went to bed that night and you know, I woke up the next day and I just had it in my brain. I said, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast. And I kind of narrowed it down. I was like, well, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, I've had such access to these Memphis guys and I've been around them. I have some stories and all. So, make a long story short, I had a good friend that was good friends with Downtown Bruno. So, he called Bruno and Bruno said he was willing to do it. So, I mean, Bruno came on the show and kind of one thing led to another, and just, you know, and I got the, what happened with me is just, I got to give all the glory and respect to God. I was just, you know, a nobody on a podcast and met some pretty famous wrestlers, one being Steve Kern, and, you know, Steve Kern really took me under his wing and took a liking to me and said, we're real respectful guys and like what we do. And just, you know, introduced me to his buddies, and some of his buddies introduced me, just almost like a trickle effect, you know.
Yeah. So
it just happened like that. So I gotta thank the guys like, you know, Steve Kern, Jacques Rougeau, David Haskins, Tim Horner, the guys that have, you know, that took a liking to me and said, hey, you know, called up the other guys and said, hey, John's a good guy. He's going to give you a good, respectful interview. Won't be no bullshit, no drama, no stirring the pot. You know, he's just here to keep our business alive and honor the legends, you know, and things like that. So I've been very blessed by word of mouth and these guys, you know, taking a liking to me. So if anybody listens to this, guys, like, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for making some dreams, you know, come true just for a small town Mississippi boy, you know. So
yeah, I agree. I found that's always the best thing, right? If you're just respectful, right? And do your just do a good job, right? Be respectful of the guys, listen to them, hear them out, tell their stories. Don't cause any turmoil. That'll trickle down, right? Because I've done that too. I've interviewed somebody and then I'll reach out to somebody else and they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so said that you were a pretty good guy. So yeah, I'll do that. And, or I've got contacted by guys that said, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, and I feel like that's the best way, right? Just represent yourself well, and things will, it'll unfold for you.
I'm a fan of your show and I'm a big listener, and you have the same formula we have. You don't stir the pot. You're not here to get started. I mean, you ask, you know, a lot of the same lines of questions, you know, that we ask and all, and that's how I think that your success and all, like, I'm a big fan. I think we almost have like the same formula going. You know, you're not sitting there asking about like bullshit in the locker room or who was sleeping with who's like that. You're talking about wrestling, and that's what keeps going, Dave.
Yeah, I agree. I've always sought out to, when people always ask me why, I'm like, because these guys won't be here right forever. And I want them to document their stories, document their careers, let people hear about them while they're still here. And this is the current avenue for doing that, right? This is the way it happens now. I don't care about the dirt stuff, right? That's not my thing. You know, I want to hear just their stories about their career. I always tell when I reach out to someone, my key word is it's conversational, right? I'm not going to just rattle off questions. I just want to talk back and forth. I let them lead, the best that I can.
And like us, you're very well prepared. You can tell that you have your topics you want to hit on. You have your notes and you know what was going on. And some of these other podcasters, I mean, I feel like they don't give them their due respect. If a guy is going to be willing to give me a chance, give me an interview, I mean, it takes me at least 3 or 4 hours worth of research. I watch old footage, dig through things. I mean, I'm well versed and well prepared. So it's like it put, like, if somebody agrees to do an interview, that's when the clock starts for me. It puts me to work, you know. So
me too. It's like, to me, it's, if they're giving you the time, you got to give it the respect, and you've got to don't waste their time, right? Because I know these guys are busy. And, I've had guys agree to interviews that don't do interviews very often. And I'm like, so I'm not going to waste that. I'm not going to blow that. And it's great, 'cause I've made lots of great friends through this. Right. And it's I always tell people, man, if you had told 13 year old me, some of the people I'd get to talk to and I'd be friends, quote unquote friends with, I never would have believed it. And, it's wild. It's surreal sometimes. And you talked about Bruno, right? Like, I think Bruno was your first guest. Is that right?
Yes, he was.
And you mentioned that you had these connections with these Memphis guys. So tell me a little more about that. What do you mean you had these connections? What was that all about?
Well, I guess just, you know, we had such access to them. I mean, like, it wouldn't be anything for, you know, say, like, you know, USWA came on at 11 o'clock, you know, on our local TV, and they're like, you know, like Jerry Lawler's on there saying, hey, me and Jimmy Hart or me and Bill Dundee, we're going to be at the Basic Foods grocery store at Bullfrog Corner at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I mean, that, you know, that was like 5 minutes from us, you know, and like, yeah, you know, we'd already be, you know, scheming like, well, whose dad's going to take, you know, we didn't drive, we're kids. Like, well, whose dad's going to take us or whose uncle's going to take us? And like, no, my dad's working right now. Well, okay, let's get your dad. Let's get him down there. But, got to have those interactions. A lot of these guys, you know, did stuff with the grocery stores, the car lots. I mean, they were very, you know, accessible to us. I mean, I wish I had them all now and it breaks my heart, but man, I've probably taken well over 50 pictures with the King Jerry Lawler in my life, you know, just being accessible. You know, I remember I've got a picture in the studio now, me and Jeff Jarrett, you know, when he had the long blonde locks at the Mid-South Fair, you know, just these guys were very accessible to us. And I don't know if it was just the formula that Jerry Jarrett instilled in them or not, but they treated us with respect. I mean, they were accessible to us and we could get close to them. We could have conversations with them and they didn't shun us away. And some of the stuff you see with the guys like walking through the airports these days and too busy and things like that. And I know those guys get bugged and all like that, but you see plenty of footage these days where the guys are too busy or just shun fans away. The USWA guys, like I said, I don't know if they were just told not to do that or it was just in their blood, but they treated us like we're family, you know, they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it might be one of the reasons, right, that Memphis was the longest running territorial promotion that's out there, right? It was so you're just so embedded in that part of the country. They often said, right, Memphis didn't have pro wrestling teams, but they had Jerry Lawler, and that was their thing. And so tell me a little bit about like your process for your podcast, like when you're finding guests and whatever else. How do you seek them out? Do they, you know, I know there's different methods for this and some of it's just, you know, dumb luck almost sometimes with certain guests, but when, how do you approach as you prepare for an episode of your podcast?
Well, like I said, you know, I'll try to watch, a lot of old footage as I can and, you know, and talk about some of the topics that the audience are going to want to hear, or maybe that people are curious about and things like that. And I like hidden gems. I like the guys that, like you said, that haven't done a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
I have four Memphis guys on my podcast that have never done another podcast before.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the Rock and Roll RPMs, Tommy Lane, Phil Hickerson, Lou Winston of the Memphis Vice. I mean, I've gotten lucky with some hidden gems and had some guys that have never done interviews before, and with my reputation, they agreed. They said, okay, like, well, what better place to start than, you know, your podcast? Goliath, Moondog Splat, he had never done
it.
Yep. I've done some now, but I was the first one that he had never done an interview with.
Yep.
You know, and like you said, like goes back to what you said about that reputation and all. I mean, they were willing to do it, and I think we've had all good shows. And I do something a little bit different than most podcasters probably. And it's not just being lazy. I had almost like a reality TV type approach. I've never edited one show. I turn it on and let it roll. I've had, you know, wrestlers say, hold on, you know, we're got to go to the restroom or something like that. And me and Willie keep on talking. We'll promote the book while they're gone or just do this and that. But it's almost like reality based. I just let it rip, man.
Yeah, I don't do a whole lot of editing. Just very little things here and there I have, but yeah, that's kind of the way I do. And I am very much the same way. I love first time guests or guys that haven't. And it's kind of easy, right, when you zone in on an area like a territory, right? There's several WWA guys or so whatever that wherever you are that most people don't know of, and I don't care about that, right? Because to me, if they were a professional wrestler, they're an interview. They can tell stories. There are stories to tell. I don't care about their quote unquote place on the card, their position in the industry, whatever. There are stories to tell. There are interactions that they had that are worth it. And if you're worth your salt as an interviewer, you can get it out of them. So I don't worry about, you know, clout or anything else. If they were a professional wrestler, I feel pretty confident. I can interview them and I get the stories out of them. Because they've got the stories to tell.
If I can, Dave, let me backtrack a little bit when you're asking me how the podcast got started and all, because I'm leaving out a big integral, piece of the puzzle and all. So I made a post that said that I was going to, that I was going to start a podcast and all. And I received a message on Facebook Messenger by my co-host, William Brooks, goes by Willie B. And I thought he almost might be playing or something, but he said, man, if you're looking for a co-host, hey, I'm down. And I got to thinking, I've known Willie since junior high, and that's probably the glue that's always held us together every time, like, we ran into each other, since high school and over the years. Wrestling always comes up. And the formula for being successful in life is always surround yourself by guys that are smarter than you, that know more than you. And yeah. I guess got to thinking, I'm like, man, if he's really serious about this, what a perfect co-host. The guy is a plethora of knowledge about old school wrestling. So big shout out to my co-host, Willie B. I just think that, like my wife said, like, we're just magic on the mic together. We're two totally different people in real life. He has his personality, I have my personality, and we have different, views on things and stuff like that. But when the mic hits, like, we're so in sync, and I think that we go so well together. And a lot of people have said that too, like, you and Willie are just magic on the mic.
Yeah, that's important, right? If you have a co-host or a regular guest or anything like that, is right. That chemistry and that being able to work together. And some of that even, right, develops more over time, right? Even if it clicks at the beginning, right, over time, it even gets better and better. And you did bring up a point that I think is very crucial, right? I think it's important. And I've always viewed it as important to recognize your flaws, your weaknesses, right? I don't claim to know everything. Not even close. So that's when I need something. I know it's like, I know who to reach out to, right? I know who to get and find that information or bring in to help me or whatever else, because I don't want to pretend that I know that or whatever. So that's fine. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm going to bring in who can pick up the slack and help me out with that, because to give the best product out there. And I think that's an important thing when you're podcasting, right? It's part of that research process. And that preparation is that to know what you lack and to reach out or to find, to fill that gap and fill that hole. I think that's an important thing as you prepare for the interviews and things.
And I've been labeled as one of the biggest compliments by several different people. I've been listed as like a wrestling historian. I'm like, no, thank you so much for the compliment, but I'm not a wrestling historian. I'm just somebody that has a big fandom, a big fan of professional wrestling that got lucky and gets to talk to these guys. And I'm learning just like you guys are learning. And I've told some of the guests that's why I love doing this, because I learn something new every time I do a show. And you probably learned this through your research. Wikipedia is wrong about 65% of the time. You can't just... So the information that are being pushed to the people out there isn't necessarily correct. It was totally opposite in some cases. And some of the guys have been able to, clear some of those facts up. So I want to encourage everybody listening. Don't just, if you're on the internet or Wikipedia or something, don't look at that as solid fact. Do your own research, do a little bit more digging. You're going to find that Wikipedia is only good as the mark that wrote it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love it. Because I feel like I have my network of guys, right? I depending on what territory it is or what area of the country, I know it's like, I know a guy to ask or to reach out to. And I love that. I love having a guy to lean into, that grew up there or has done the work there.
Like you said, we're really focused on Memphis wrestling and all. That was our childhood. That's what we had access to. But somebody like Steve Kern has taught me so much about wrestling in Florida,
Yep. Yeah.
A championship wrestling from Florida. I didn't know much about Florida wrestling, but guys like that, and having other guys, they have totally educated me on, things from Florida wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing anybody that follows you on social media knows you've always been really active, right? At getting out there in shows and events and things, you've had tables and this and that. How important do you view that is? I think that's one thing I always lacked in, is getting out there and with that public presence. How important do you think that is there for your brand, quote unquote, to to get out there and be seen and interact with the modern fans.
It's so funny you brought that up because, you know, we there was a few years ago in Evansville, Indiana, Jeffrey Osborne, great dude. He organized the Wrestling Legends Reunion, you know, a tribute to Jerry Lawler, and yep. had a lot of the Memphis guys there. So he personally invited. He said, "Mayor, you know, why don't you set up a table and all?" And shout out to Shane Russell. Me and Shane have become we become, you know, very good friends in this process. So we had a table. Actually, we were going to sit with Shane, but we realized at the last moment Shane had way too much shit for us to sit at the same time. So he put a table right beside ours, and, you know, we had everything set up there, and everybody that walked to the table, you know, I'm not gonna say everybody, but my wife and Willie can attest to this. 95% that people that walk through the table, walk by the table trying to promote the show, they're like, "Hey, we already listened to your podcast. We're already big fans," you know, but it was great to hear that feedback and everything like that. And, you know, like a truck driver stopped and he said, "I just want to, you know, thank you guys. I spent a lot of miles on the highway, a lot of hours. And one of my favorite things to do is listen to one of your new episodes, or go back and listen to episodes I hadn't heard. So, man, thank you for, you know, keeping me entertained while I'm on the highway." But a lot of people said they already, you know, listened to the show. But I think it's important to get in the community and let people, you know who you are and promote and kind of, you know, what you're about, and, you know, just kind of spread the word as much as you can. Honestly, we haven't done much since then because everybody said they already listened to the show, but maybe that was just the place, the time and location it was at. You know, Evansville was a, you know, was part of the Wednesday Night Loop and the USWA and all, and the CWA and all. So maybe that fan base had just was very familiar with us, and might be some places that hadn't heard of us, but we've been very lucky. And when we hit TMZ, I mean, that kind of, you know, as you know, that's a huge pop cultural deal that opens a lot of doors for you.
Yeah. That was actually my next question is, right, a couple of years ago, you garnered the attention of TMZ, right, with your interview with Mike Rotunda talking about his son, you know, Bray. And so tell us a little bit, because that's gotta be surreal to have something like that picked up on for one of your interviews.
Big shout out to my baby Foxy, Melissa McCall. What she always says, like, you know, that's why you have a good wife with you, because she always tells you what you don't know, right?
That's right. That's right. Yep.
One of her things when this first started, she said, "John," she said, "mark my words, you never know who's listening." To this day, I have no idea who even reported that, but I was sitting at work and I got a message on Messenger and said, "Hey, man, all these wrestling websites have picked up your Mike Rotunda interview, WrestleZone, Fightful, you know, I can't think, I'm going blank, but just so many of these other different wrestling websites have picked up your interview." And I'm like, "Wow, how cool." And the next thing I know, and somebody says, "Bro, you're not going to believe this. TMZ just picked up your interview with Mike Rotunda." And I'm like, just in awe, like speechless. And to this day, I've never been told, like, who, you know, who was listening that passed on that information or not. But just, I mean, what an accomplishment. Just, I'm a self-made podcaster. I have no sponsors. I have no backing, no endorsements. I mean, not to brag or anything or be boastful, be arrogant, because that's not my style. But I'll be quick to tell somebody, I think I'm one of the top independent podcasters in wrestling in the world.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much bigger than TMZ. We've broken records all over the world. I've been featured in, you know, chartable podcasts. I've made it to 3 and 4 in Ireland, Greece, Ukraine. We've cracked the, you know, the top 50 in the United States, Canada, Great Britain. And I was telling Willie the other day, I said, "Willie, you're not going to believe this, but, you know, so many people in Japan listen to our show." And he's like, "Japan?" But then he's like, "Well, that does make a lot of sense." He's like, "How many guys have we had on the show and we've discussed their runs and their legendary careers in Japan?" And I was like, "Well, I guess that does make sense." But back to what Foxy said, you never know who's listening.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Cause, it's weird. It's weird the things that people will pick up on, right? And obviously that's right. That's a big interview, a very timely interview. and thing. But you never know what might get keyed in on, what might garner some attention from just the right person. And right, and you're talking about right all the people you've got to interview, right? The TMZ exposure, the you know, the charts, you know, everything that's come to you. So what are some of your future goals with the podcast as you look, you know, towards the future?
Honestly, I've got about 6 or 7 recorded. I think my time is coming very near, because everything changes, and everything changes very quickly. The landscape of podcasting has changed so much in the last 3 years that we've been doing it. Right now, everybody and their mama has got wind and has their own podcast, or either they want a lot of money for these interviews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
somebody that doesn't have any financial backing, we don't pay for interviews. Like I said, we've been lucky by the networking and things like that. But some of these wrestlers have gotten wind and have their own shows, and they charge high dollars. So, I mean, I think my run might be, you know, close to being over soon, but that's okay though. I think I've really built something to last for years and let people, you know, come back and get educated and hear some stuff maybe they wouldn't have heard elsewhere, and just, you know, enjoy the, you know, to take a page out of your book, maybe just enjoy the nostalgia that we're trying to keep alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a thing. I've never paid for an interview either. And I've reached out to a few guys, and they've come back with prices, and I don't, you know, it's not, I don't want to be disrespectful, but there's a few guys I'm like, really? It's like, you're charging for, I don't want to, you know, it's gotten very weird, very complicated.
Well, and I'll say this too, and not to, you know, and I know that wrestlers need to make their income and all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't blame them, but just my personal experience, the guys that charge for podcasts, they're not the greatest interviews. The guys that still want to talk about Saturday morning, that still have passionate, the guys that charge have some deadbeat rehearsed shit they go through every time. Yeah. Like the same old thing. And some of those guys that charge, I hear some of these interviews and I'm like, man, this interview isn't half as good as the guy that was wanting to talk for free because he still has his passion for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
This guy's out here just trying to make a dime and has all this rehearsed stuff he's going to go over, and it's not very interesting because I've heard it 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one reason I've never dipped into my own pocket even to pay for an interview. It's like, I don't want somebody to talk to me and tell me because they're making X money. I want them to do it because they enjoy talking and telling the stories and whatever it may be.
A lot of people refuse to believe that a lot of the, and you, I mean, you know, with this in the wrestling community, there's a lot of jealousy. In the podcasting community, there's a lot of jealousy that I didn't realize was there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put anybody on blast. I'm not going to get into that. You know, that's no, neither here nor there, but I want people to know there is a lot of jealousy, you know, out there. And a lot of people refuse to believe that they don't believe us. They're like, no, he's paying for these interviews. There's nobody there's no way that he could have got some of these guests without paying. And I'm here to tell you, brother. Yeah. Like God is good by some of the people, like, you know, I'll just give you, if you don't mind, let me give you a little story real quick.
Sure. Sure.
I was at work on my lunch break. And at that time I was working probably 12, 13 hours a day, had a very rigorous, vigorous schedule, and didn't get a lot of time for my wife at the time. So on lunch break, everybody knew that was my time to call Melissa and talk to her. And I really didn't get off the phone for nothing unless it was an emergency. But I'm sitting in my car, you know, and I had my car on, you know, and I'm talking to Melissa. And I said, hey, babe, let me call you back. And she's like, why, babe? You don't ever let me go. And I was like, well, Steve Kern's calling. And he just always texts. So maybe he needs something. And I said, I'll holler back at you, babe. And she's like, okay. So I pick up the phone and Steve's on the other line. And he said, John, I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, yes, sir. He said, how would you like to talk to the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase? I said, I would love to. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, let's take it one step further. How would you feel about having Ted on your podcast? I said, are you serious right now, Steve? I said, I would love to. And he said, well, matter of fact, he said, we're in the car together right now. And he said, here's Ted, and put Ted on the phone. And I'm not going to lie, Dave, I was kind of nervous. It called me off guard, and I'm kind of marking out. And I'm like,
yeah,
hey, Ted, what's going on? And he's like, well, hey, John, it's nice to meet you. And your good buddy Steve Kern has said a lot of, you know, great things about you. And he was like, yeah, he said, if Kern vouches for you, he said, I'll be a guest on your podcast. And he said, well, here, take down my email. He said, oh, hell. He said, if you're friends with Steve, here's my phone number. Take down my phone number. You know, so long story short, we had an interview with Ted, and that's how we got hooked up with Mike Rotunda. He introduced us to Mike, and you know, that's how it all started with Mike Rotunda. So that's just by the, you know, no money was exchanged. They just did it because they cared about me and saw something in me.
And I've always found that's to me, that's the most rewarding stuff, right? When someone says, you know, so-and-so vouched for you. That's what makes me feel good.
And a lot of people at the time didn't believe that we didn't pay Sergeant Slaughter. And just by some, you know, just by some chance, he actually cleared it up on the show when we started recording. He kind of cleared the air, because I'm sure a lot of people were wondering about that. He said how it happened. He said, you know, usually I don't do a lot of these interviews and all. He said, but my daughter called me and said, hey, Dad, these guys are some really good, respectful guys. And I think you should, I think it'd be worth your time, you know, for the fans to do an interview with them. So he said, man, that's all it took. As soon as my baby girl called and said, do an interview, he said, that's all I needed to know. And here we are.
Yeah. So, and like you mentioned earlier, unfortunately, right, you've had some medical issues that have arisen in your life. That do you want to talk about those a little bit, or?
Absolutely. It's real life, brother. I don't shy away from it.
Yeah. Well, tell us what's going on, right? You had some kidney issues, right?
Well, it was around like September, and I started hurting so bad. And my wife will attest to this. I'm not a big going to the doctor guy, and you know, a hospital is definitely a last resort. You know, so I started hurting so bad in my left kidney where I just couldn't maintain, Dave. I mean, I'm down on my knees, and I just said, yeah, babe, I think we've got to go to the hospital. So, long story short, we go to the hospital, and I had a kidney stone in my left kidney, and the doctor made no bones about it. I mean, he just walked in the room. He's like, you've got cancer. And me and my wife looked up. We're like, excuse me? He said, yeah. He said, excuse my bedside manner, maybe my way I'm rolling into this, but yeah, you've got your other kidney, you've got a massive 8-centimeter tumor covering your whole kidney. You've got cancer. And I was like, oh, wow. So that's, you know, just by the grace of God, having that, if it wouldn't been for that kidney stone, we wouldn't know if I had cancer in my other kidney. So, you know, that's how that came to fruition.
Yeah. And it's, obviously, right, that, I mean, real life, right, trumped everything, right, caused the podcast to kind of go to the back burner and had you refocus on a lot of things. But did you find not having that podcast in your life, and obviously, I'm sure there's lots of those guys that you were still in contact with, but did it make you at all realize how therapeutic talking to some of these guys and doing some of this and how important that is?
That's exactly how you got me on here today. That's exactly, like I said, I have about 6 or 7 recorded, and they've been recorded for a while. And that was my formula. I never wanted to put unnecessary pressure on me or my co-host, and we're very busy in our lives and everything. So I would, you know, I always recorded ahead. I always have, you know, numerous interviews in the can, but yeah, I did realize how therapeutic it was and how much I missed it. And that's what my wife said. She said, talk to Dave today. She said, it'd be good for you, John. This is what you missed. So yeah, I wanted to come on here and talk wrestling today, because yeah, it does help me. Wrestling was always my escape from childhood. I'm not going to get into it, but I didn't have the greatest childhood. So wrestling has always been there for me when the world turned their back on me, if that makes sense.
It does. Right. And I think that's, yeah, for a lot of us, right. I always tell my wife, right. I mean, I'm like, no offense, but the one true love of my life is wrestling in a different way. It's the longest running constant in my life.
That's what my wife said. She said, it's going to be good for you to get on there. And she knows I'm a fan of the show. She knows a few little, I have limited time. Well, I have a lot of time on my hands right now, but generally I have a little time on my hands. So I have to pick and choose. I can't listen to the hundreds of wrestling podcasts out there. So, you know, you're one of them that I listen to. So she was,
I appreciate that.
I showed her the picture of the, you know, your graphic and all, said, yeah, this is, you know, you've heard me talk about Dave Dynasty. He does some awesome shows, and he's invited me to be a guest. And she's like, well, do it. It's going to be good for you, babe.
Yeah.
Talk wrestling with Dave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's both ways. Cause I've, not done a lot here, right? Kind of the holidays and everything else got me. It always seems like it crops up this time of year, right? Where I get a little sidetracked and everything else, and I'm just now getting back in that groove. And so again, it's good for me too, right? To get back in and talk, because I have missed it. And
And I was keeping up too, and I was like, "Well, I said, well, babe, I said, Dave might. I think Dave's really hurting for interviews. He wants
nah.
to."
No.
Yeah. So she's like, "No." She's like,
"No."
Stop. Like, quit being down on yourself. You're very relevant. You've done.
That's
something.
Right.
But you've made a big name for yourself, Mr. McCall, the mayor.
That's right. That's right. No, I've got plenty of interviews lined up. It's not a hurting thing at all. No, not at all. But you and I have, right? We've shot messages back and forth, and talked for quite a little bit, saying at some point we've got to do something, right? We've got to. This is not like a new development here. This is something that I think you and I have been flirting around with for a while.
Well, let me get back on my feet and start doing some stuff, and I'll get Willie involved. But hey, Dave, this is an open invitation. We'd love to have you for a guest on Wrestling Talk when you're ready.
Well,
buddy.
Well, definitely. Anytime, just reach out. And so, you know, let's wind this down a little bit. Again, I you know, I know you said earlier, right? You feel like it's. I hope you don't truly mean that. I hope you get back into it, and just keep doing it, right? I think it's a good thing to have in your life. You do a great job with it. I think the world of wrestling podcasts would be worse off if you hung it up and thought it had passed you by, because I don't agree with that. So hopefully you'll, and I'm not trying to put pressure on myself. I'm hoping maybe I sparked a little fire back in you to get you going a little bit.
You did, and God works in mysterious ways. And this is the first. I mean, I've said this probably maybe every year that's went on. Every time I think things are starting to wrap up or wind down, God opens up some new doors for me.
Yeah.
And thank you all the people listening, because I've had some very, very sweet messages, and some people have sent me messages and said, "Man, you of all wrestling podcasts, John, you have one of our favorite ones, and we want to see you get back out there, and we can't wait for you to release some interviews." So the fans have really spoken, and they really love what we do. And I want to just thank everybody for all your continued support.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I agree with their sentiments, and hope that you stay involved in everything else. So just as we wind out, just I'm always curious, besides wrestling, what other hobbies or interests does Barry McCall have?
I'm a huge Ole Miss football fan, and it just literally broke my heart with the Miami game of the night. But I like spending time with my wife, like, you know, when we can, like, you know, take like little mini road trips, you know, and that's my best friend, and go some places we haven't seen, or, you know, things like that. When times allows, I like to play video games. I like to play the Switch. I'm a big Ole Miss fan. I like to play the Switch. I like to grill out. I love spending time with my wife, and, you know, we always come up with something, you know, cool to do. So,
well, I can certainly relate to that. That's same with me. My wife's my best friend, and we, it's why we've been married. She'll kill me for not knowing off the top of my head. 22 years,
right, brother.
22 years. and she always jokes. She's like, "Man, 22 years, we've never run out of things to talk about." And,
Well, how ironic is that? Because me and my wife are always saying 22 is one of our lucky numbers. So
there you go. And and it's funny, because it's like we have common interests, but then we have lots of different interests. And but it's still, you know, her interests I find interest in, just because she likes them, and I always want to hear about them, and I learn more through that. So
my wife could care less about professional wrestling. My wife doesn't love wrestling. My wife loves me, so she supports.
Yeah. Same here. And that's always a good thing, right? That you got to have that foundation to be able to be successful in anything.
Right.
Yeah. So what's the best way for listeners to follow you on social media, keep up with what you're doing, and then watch for that comeback of Wrestling Talk?
Well, Wrestling Talk with Mayor McCall is available with anywhere you get podcasts. I mean, we're on Spotify, we're on Anchor, we're on anywhere you can get a podcast. I mean, we're right up there. I mean, you can follow me on Facebook at John Mayor McCall. I'm on TikTok, Mayor McCall 56. I'm trying to build that TikTok up a little bit. So if anybody listening wants to follow me on TikTok, that'd be greatly appreciated. But I do most of my work on Facebook. That seems to be biggest social media platform that I've been able to get some traction behind. So at one point we got almost up to like 10,000 followers. So, yeah, so I do a lot of things on Facebook and stuff like that. But, you know, if anybody wants to shoot me a message or anything like that, I try to be readily available. I never tried to get bigger than, you know, I don't know the word I'm using, but I always try to be easily accessible. I never tried to, you know, make a little success and forget about the people around me. I can't answer like every, you know, maybe right now, but I can't answer like everything that's sent to me and all, but I try to be accessible with the fans and let everybody know that, hey, I'm still just one of y'all, and I'm not a big shot or anything. I mean, so, and people, and I think people have liked that and they respected that, because a lot of people, you know, get a little fame, not saying I'm famous or successful, but a lot of people get a little fame or success under their belt and almost forget where they come from. And all of a sudden, like, you're too good to answer messages or something like that. No, we're all in this together, you know, and life can change in the blink of a hat. So I encourage everybody just to try to be the best person you can. And you don't know what life has in store for you. Don't forget where you come from, and honor and support the people that support you.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of that is the reason, John, that you've had the success you have is that foundation that you've gotten and those roots that you remember. And continue to keep you in my thoughts, and hopefully you continue to recover medically, and look forward to seeing, you know, some of those interviews you've got in the can, and then seeing you back getting active in the podcasting world and the wrestling world. And
I think you've lit a fire under me. I think I'm gonna go in the studio today, and I think I'm gonna release an interview today.
Absolutely.
My wife's like, "What are you holding on to?" And you know, honestly, sometimes I think I hold on to them because I'm not ready. I'm not quite ready for this ride to end. And I think maybe once, you know, like I said before, the landscape has changed, and once maybe I release everything I have up my sleeve, maybe the ride could possibly be over. I don't know, but she's like, the last like month, she's like, "What are you doing? Go release some interviews. What are you holding on to them for?" And you know what? I'm gonna go release one today, Dave.
There you go.
Fire under my ass.
And if you feel like the foundation, I mean, the landscape's changing, just change it back. Just keep doing it, John. Just enjoy yourself. Keep with that passion and get out there. And you got to keep doing it then, because if I get that open invitation, you got to keep doing it long enough for me to cash that in. So
you're gonna be a part of it. And shame on me, but this has been going on like 6 months now. I've been a guest on Bob Smith's wonderful.
Bob's a great guy.
And I'm supposed to have him back and stuff too. Actually, I think what we're gonna do, we're gonna talk about the best and worst gimmicks of Memphis wrestling. So that'll be something.
There you go.
We're gonna have Bob back on.
There you go. See, you've got stuff to do, John. So there you go. So hopefully I've given you a push in the right direction. You can get back to work, and we all look forward to that. You heard how John said to follow him. Go subscribe to his podcast on whatever platform you prefer. Follow him on social media, because I got a feeling John's going to be back in that mix. And we're going to be hearing a lot more from John. But John, it's been a pleasure to finally get this done and get to talk to you here on the show. And I look forward to interacting with you more in the future and doing more work together.
No, Dave, the honor and privilege has been all mine, and what a wonderful sentiment to have me on Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty, and I've definitely enjoyed it, and I appreciate you thought enough of me to have me as a guest, brother.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, And of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to the mayor for coming on and joining me on this episode. Go check his show out, guys. Subscribe to it. It's a good, good listen. Follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all of the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Also, go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for their account, and then sign... Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account, and then download the app on all of your smart devices. Guys, like I said earlier, make sure you follow me on social media and keep an eye there, as I will soon be announcing my guest for next episode. And with that, guys, thank you again for listening. Thank you for subscribing and supporting. And always remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.